Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Well, they can see underneath it. Good morning, friends. What a glorious day to be gathered together this morning. It is so great to see all of your smiling faces. I want to say good morning to our online congregation as well, and let you know that my name is Loretta Job, and I'm the clergy of the day. Pastor John, Pastor Lindsay, Pastor Lynn, Pastor Hazel are all up at annual conference this morning. They've been there for a few days, and I've been watching the news, and it looks like there's some great stuff going on. So hold them in their prayers as they travel home sometime today. This is a church that wants to know God, love God, and serve God, and we do that in so many different ways and encourage all of you to take advantage of that. If you take out the connection card that you found inside your bulletin, you will find not just a place for you to sign in and let us know you were here, but also an opportunity to check off some boxes. We can get a hold of you and get you involved in some things going on around the church, and I'm going to have some announcements for today's happenings as well. We're continuing with our theme on being called, and Bruce Stark is going to be bringing our message today. Rose Bledsoe and Vince Proger are here as well. That's why Vince is here. There are prayer cards in your pew pockets. If you are in need of prayer or you know someone who is in need, please take a moment to fill those out. This congregation takes prayer very seriously. We have a group that meets every week. The clergy pray over these cards, so please let us be in prayer for you if that's appropriate. If you haven't already made your way to Sunday school, I don't see any little ones yet, just Henry, and he's not big enough for Sunday school yet. We will invite them to have a good day today and do that. Here are some announcements for this morning. This stuff is happening, some of it today. Today at 4 p.m., Colby Martin, the author of Unclobber, will be here to talk about it. Pastor John did a book study probably a few months ago now on this book, and so we have brought the author in to give us some updates and know what's going on. We will be focusing on how Scripture points to diversity and inclusion. And so 4 o'clock, the doors open. We hope to see you here, program, and of course, refreshments following it. Next up, we have the open table. June 4th, coming up, please let the front office or Larry or Felicia or Todd May know that you want to come, and they'll be taking a break for the summer. So if you want to enjoy some fellowship and good food, please join us on the 4th at noon. On June 7th, today is the last day to buy tickets for the Vessels of Grace dinner. You are welcome to come and watch the performance, be part of that, but we need a head count for dinner. So please, if you haven't already done that, take a moment today and sign up. You can do so online. It's that time of year, folks. Some of you may have come in through the bottom doors and noticed there is rummage accumulating. So we have rummage being brought in now until, I believe, it's the 10th. And then the rummage sale is June 12th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Last year when I worked at 8:30, they were lined up down the walkway to the end of the building and up the hill. So if you want the treasure of the day, come early. And then Saturday will be from 8 until noon. So, but we do also need volunteers. As you know, this is a big fundraiser for us, and we do get a lot of rummage to take care of. So please consider signing up. You can get more information on the website for that as well. And for the drop-off, I've been told there's a little confusion. Drop-off is in room 109, which is at the far back end of Fellowship Hall. So if you go downstairs all the way to the back, you'll see a room, and that's where we're going to collect everything. Italian Soda Sunday, June 7th. I don't know what an Italian soda is. Does anybody know what an Italian soda is? I got to show up just to have one. It will be a youth group fundraiser. It will be before, between, and after worship services, so you got no excuse not to get one. It's going to help support all their summer activities, the youth. And lastly, some of you may have noticed that things are not where they normally are in the hallways, and that we're in the process of repainting the building. And so stuff has been taken down off the walls. It started last week downstairs. They're going to be moving up here. So if you didn't find a place to hang your coat, our apologies. You can leave it on a chair in the community room. Those are our announcements for this morning, and so I would ask if you would please rise and join in our opening hymn, God of Grace and God of Glory.
I invite you to join me in the opening prayer. Lord God of all, I thank and praise you for blessing me with the legacy of your never-ending love and mercy. When I feel ill-equipped to answer your call, help me to believe that you will provide what I need. Give me courage to trust in your plan for my life. Be my shield and my reward as I seek to live out your calling. In your name we pray, amen. Please be seated. Our scripture reading this morning comes to us from Genesis 12, verses 1 through 4. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
I'd like to add just a little bit to the scripture that Vince read. Verse 5, he said, he took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. For some reason, when I was doing the sermon, I read that, and I thought that that was a good part to add to it. Our sermon series that we're completing today is Follow Me. And it's kind of funny because when they started with Jesus and the disciples, and they went to Moses, and they went to Mary, and they kind of worked their way backwards. So now we're at the beginning. So the beginning is the end. So, would you pray with me? Good and gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the inspiration of all of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who calls us to follow. All right, if we want to go to the backstory a little bit, we go to the chapter before chapter 12, chapter 11, and you can find out a little bit about Abram's ancestry. If you follow it back, you remember the story about Noah and his three sons that were on the ark. Well, one of his sons was Shem. And if you follow the line from Shem on down, you will end up at Abram. And if you need an app, I suggest you read all that. This guy is this guy is this guy is this guy. Because it'll put you to sleep once you start reading all that. But Abram ended up, his father was Terah. And Terah was in the same line. Terah had three sons, Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran died, but Abram married Sarai, and Nahor married Milcah. Terah took the grandson Lot, who was the son of Haran, Abram and Sarai, and they headed to Canaan, but they settled in Haran. They never did make it to Canaan. So now God comes along when Abram's 75 years old, and he tells Abram, go. He doesn't say where. He says, just go. But he does say why. He says, I'll tell you where you're going. Just go ahead and start, and then I'll tell you later. God is creating a new beginning. And Abram, who will soon be known as Abraham, is going to be the father of many nations. There's no discussion at this time about Abraham being the father of three separate religions. That will come later. But for now, God says, go. Abram and Sarai were, of course, already well established in Haran. The last thing that they would have wanted to do was pull up stakes and set out for parts unknown. Their destination is, according to God, the land that I will show you. Just hit the road, head out in some general direction, and sit tight for some further navigational instructions. Initially, at least, the going was more important than the place to which one was going to. Initially, they landed in Canaan, which is where Abram's father was headed for when they had landed in Haran. But the journey didn't end there. If you read the rest of Genesis 12, you can see where he traveled. To go for today's story, we're just discussing God's instructions to pick up and go and the promises that God made to Abram. God made three foundational promises to Abram in Genesis 12, known as the Abrahamic Covenant. They were the land promise, the national promise, and the spiritual promise. The three promises. The land promise. God promised to lead Abram to a new land, which was Canaan, but he didn't know it at the time, and give it to his descendants as a perpetual inheritance. The national or posterity promise, God promised to make Abram a great nation, blessing him with countless descendants. The spiritual blessing promise, God promised that through Abram and his lineage, all the families of the earth would be blessed. Which is kind of a surprise to Abram since he didn't have any kids. Genesis 12, 1 through 3 teaches us about the nature of faith, the importance of obedience, and God's ultimate plan of redemption. God calls Abram to leave his comfort zone and trust him for the unknown, promising to bless him so that he can, in turn, be a blessing for the whole world. His promises were initially unconditional, relying entirely on God's faithfulness rather than Abram's actions. Throughout his life, God repeatedly confirmed and expanded on these commitments, even changing his name from Abram, which means exalted father, to Abraham, which means the father of many nations, which you can find in Genesis 17. Earlier, we talked about Abram's father taking Abram, Sarai, and Lot and moving everyone to Haran. For 75 years, country, kindred, and father's houses had been defined and identified Abram. They were familiar and predictable. They were all he knew. He had never left or ventured beyond them. And then God tells Abram to leave them all behind. If Abram was to become more fully himself, take responsibility for himself, and live the life waiting to be lived through him, he would have to leave his country, kindred, and father's house. Maybe we need to do that as well. We all have our country, kindred, and father's house. Who or what is yours? In what ways have you settled for and become comfortable with the life you have rather than opening yourself to and moving toward the life that is waiting to be yours? What country, kindred, and father's house do you need to leave today? And what keeps you from leaving? Years ago, I bought a business with my dad, moving company that specialized in medical, dental, and optical equipment moving. My dad put my three sisters all through nursing school, and this is what he was giving me so that I could have some type of a future. The first 3 years I worked for no salary, and after that I was working for a minimal salary, and I started to think that maybe I could make a better living if I left the company and went out to make a real living at a real job. Then I started to think that if I left, there would be no way that my dad would be able to handle the moving company on his own. The original plan was that he was going to set me up in the business and then he was going to back off and leave. But as it turned out, we needed both of us to keep it going, which if he couldn't leave, then probably I couldn't leave. So I stayed. I often wondered what my life would have been if I had decided to go. I was married for 21 years, and when that ended, I considered getting my CDL license and becoming an over-the-road long-haul trucker. I always said that that's what I would do if I didn't have any commitments or anything holding me back. I wasn't sure I wanted to spend that much time alone in a truck after my divorce. Besides, I'd have to leave the family I have here at the church. You're my family, and I didn't feel that I could leave that. Besides, wasn't sure my cat was going to like riding in the truck all that time either. And you know, you don't do things to anger your cat. You know what it's like, right? Have there been times when you felt a restlessness, a longing, a sense that there's more to you and to your life than what it is? Have there been times when you had to say no to where you were in order to say yes to where you might go? Have there been times when you felt stuck, stifled, or dulled? Is God calling you to pick up and leave? Or is he calling you to stay where you are and try to make a difference right here? Maybe the call from God for you isn't to pick up and leave, but to stand up and be heard. There's many opportunities right here at the church that you can make a difference. Maybe your calling is to listen to Cedric, who's supposed to be coming to talk to us in a little bit. Try to help out with his mission moment. I don't want to spoil the surprise. I'll wait till he gets here and he can tell you what it is. But maybe if you listen to him, that's what you need to do to find your follow me message. I think I've found my follow me message. I'm still in the moving business, although I'm not as busy as I used to be. Still do a lot of charity work for the Elks. I graduated from certified lay servant to certified lay speaker, which is basically just a title change, although I had to do a lot of things to get to it, but now more people know that I'm willing to come up and talk to you. I can still give the message here and at Whitmore Lake and from time to time, as well as speaking at other churches that might need a fill-in. I believe that that's my call, and I believe that that's where I'm supposed to be, and I'm really comfortable answering that as my call. Now, I told a story one time that had a serious ending. Didn't go over as well because everybody's expecting a punchline. So I decided that from now on, when I do stories, they have to have punchlines. So don't take this story too seriously. It is a joke. A couple of guys and their wives had dinner. One of the guys' houses. After they got done with dinner, the wives stayed upstairs. The two husbands went downstairs. They were sitting and chatting, talking about different things, sitting there and having a cup of tea and a cigar. You know how I feel about cigars. So sitting there talking, one of the guys says, "You know what?" He says, "We went out to dinner last night at a brand new restaurant." He says, "Yeah? How was it?" He says, "Food was great. Service was unbelievable. Prices were remarkable. Everything about it was just a really good experience." Guy says, "What is the name of the restaurant?" Thinks about it for a minute. He says, "What's the name of that flower? They get it Valentine's Day. More often than not, it's red. They come in dozens, and they got thorns on them." Guy says, "Rose?" He says, "Yeah, that's it. Hey, Rose, what was the name of the restaurant we went to dinner last night?" So there's my joke for the day. I see several people shaking their heads. I forget things a lot, too. Let's pray. Good and gracious God, we listen for that still and quiet voice that tells us what our call is. We pray that we are listening when you call so we know where to go and what to do. We pray for your blessing on whatever that call is so that we can be the best disciples for you as possible. Help us learn where our talents and gifts are so that we can be and do the best we can. Amen. Don't forget, God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Amen.
Thank you, choir. That was lovely. Welcome to our worship this beautiful day. We ask God's blessing on these prayer quilts that are displayed here today, which are presented in honor of Ruth and Jack LePaterel. God bless you. Please take a moment as you leave the sanctuary to tie a knot and say a prayer for these children of God. Let us now be in an attitude of prayer. Holy Creator, another week has passed, another month, another season. Whatever we face, we can rely on the steadiness of time clicking by and the constants in the life you have formed within and around us. We draw air into our lungs and expel that which we don't need. Our hearts beat without conscious instruction, pushing the life-sustaining oxygen into the tiniest vessels in our fingertips. As the balmy days become more frequent and the flowers are blooming and the birds are singing, we are reminded of indeed how great thou art. And we have a so-called blue moon this month. Not a sad moon, just a rare extra appearance that only happens every 2 to 3 years. You command the constellations and orchestrate the stellar choreography that we take for granted year after year. We humbly pray that our idle musings include time to rejoice at the magnificence of your creation, and that you guide us toward constructive use of the many gifts we have received from you. Help us to remember the value of being united in serving your principles of justice for everyone, peaceful resolution of conflict, and love toward all those pilgrims who pass through this earthly adventure beside us. We have different ideas and different approaches to life as we see it, but please allow us to envision a worldwide goal of humility and harmony. The very thought seems too simplistic, I know, but improbable does not mean impossible. Teach us to be sensitive to those around us and show us the best ways to care for one another and to honor your creation. We pray that one day, humanity may share a vision of wholeness and health throughout the world rather than seeking the power to dominate and control the lives of others. In the meantime, grant your grace and mercy on those who suffer the cruelty and indignities that are far too prevalent on this otherwise glorious earth where you have placed us. At this time, we lift in silence the concerns and joys we hold in our hearts. Let us experience your Holy Spirit flowing through us as we repeat the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us your trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Invite the ushers to come forward and receive today's gifts and offerings. Just a reminder that many of you received a letter, an update on our capital campaign, and so I'm not going to read that whole thing or let you know, but we are moving along. We are grateful for all the donations that have come in, and we'll absolutely take a donation today. The painting that's going on is part of that being funded by that campaign, so thank you for that. At this time, I'd like to invite Cedric. I don't see him.
He's over here.
Oh, Cedric. He's hiding behind Olivia. And he's going to talk to us about what's happening at Gleaners Food Bank.
Well, as Bruce said, we all have our calling, and Gleaners is one of my callings. First, I'd like to thank all those that have been donating to Gleaners. Your donations are greatly appreciated. Our church is one of the leading food donators to the Livingston County Gleaners. Gleaners is neighbors helping neighbors. And I don't think I truly appreciated that until Gleaners helped one of my neighbors. I live in a well-to-do subdivision, but it came to my attention that one of our original homeowners was living on Social Security, and their Social Security checks didn't always quite cover everything. So to help them out, I signed them up for Gleaners so that they could receive a fresh box of vegetables and fruit every week. The first week I delivered a box, they were especially delighted to receive half and half in bananas because she seldom had half and half for her coffee, and he really enjoyed his bananas. They couldn't believe their good fortune. But you don't have to be desperate to qualify for Gleaners. All you need is a helping hand, is all the requirement that you need. Maybe you know someone that could use a helping hand. Every year in May, the postal workers carry out their Stamp Out Hunger campaign, in which postcards are sent to area homeowners asking that non-perishable food be put out by the mailbox for the postal workers to pick up. A lot of this donated food ends up at Gleaners, and Gleaners, it's one of the largest sources of non-business donated food that Gleaners receives. This year, for some reason, the campaign contributions have been down. I don't know if it's the uncertain economy, high gas prices, but contributions have been down. So if you're doing spring cleaning, and for example, you bought garlic kimchi and because you thought it sounded good, and you got it home and decided, yeah, maybe that's not for me, you can put it in the bag. Or maybe when you're cleaning out your closet, you find cans that are close to the sell-by date. Put them in your bag. Or maybe you go to the store and you want to take advantage of that buy five, get the best price. Put the extra in the bag. You can drop off the bag in our library, and I'll be the postman to get it to Gleaners so it can help our neighbors. Now, there's one more way you can help out Gleaners and yourself. On Saturday, June the 20th, Gleaners is having a 5K run walk and a 1 mile fun run walk at the Freedom River Park on Winans Lake Road. You and your friends can get your daily exercise and help Gleaners help our neighbors. It's a win-win. For more information, there are flyers on the information table in the social hall, or you can see me after. Thanks.
Let us pray. Lord God, bless the offerings we bring to the mission and ministry of this church. Use these offerings to empower us to answer your call and to grow a place where everyone can experience your kingdom on earth. In your name we pray, amen.
God is good.
All the time.
You knew I had to do it again. Okay, Abraham heard the call. He answered. Have you heard yours? Is it go? Is it stay? Whatever your call is, I want you to listen for it, and then I want you to act on it. I want you to enjoy the week, enjoy the sunshine, and go with the blessing of God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go in peace. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.